Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's already a little bit after 9 o'clock, it looks like. Can't really quite see that far, but welcome to all of you this morning. Especially want to welcome any visitors we might have with us this morning. Trust your time with us will be honoring and glorifying to the Lord and a benefit to you. Just want to remind you some announcements. Hopefully you saw the announcement of Pastor Kurt and Maria having to make an emergency trip down to Iowa for his sister and her husband, who is ill. He is in the ICU. I guess it's sort of been going on since December, and it's just gotten to the point now where the doctors are saying, gather the family. So be in prayer for Kurt and Maria. They are in Iowa. His sister's name is Tammy, and her husband is Al. Al is the one that is in ICU. Now, they did both make a confession of faith, but there is some concern whether or not that was genuine. So pray for that as well, that would be able to be discerned. as a result of them being gone today, we will not have the leadership dedication this morning. Lord willing, we'll do that next week. There was also a Book of the Month Club that was planned to be reviewed at noon. Kind of bring your lunch and then talk. But that is canceled and rescheduled for next week. Okay, so if you were planning to talk about that today at noon, there's not going to be anyone there. So try to join us next week for that. Tonight, though, we do have our flock group gathering at Hingham Hall. Hopefully you're able to come out for that, a great time of fellowship and fun getting to know one another a little deeper than we can here. And this Friday night is game night at church, and Pastor Kurt will be making a rare appearance at game night. So if you want to challenge him to a challenging thinking game, that's his favorite thinking game, you know, come for Friday game night. It's always a great time of fellowship. Next week is the last week that you can avail yourself of the dishes that are downstairs. If no one has taken them by that time, they will be donated. So if you want to look at the table downstairs and see if there's anything that you might be able to use, or if you know someone that can, feel free to take those items. Next week also, and this one's important, very important, we have to do something with the clock next week. So daylight saving time does start next week. I tried to make it a really annoying slide this morning. I think it's right after this one, actually. But you do need to set your clocks ahead next week. So You'll be here at church on time and not miss the morning service. So daylight savings time starts next Sunday. Maybe it'll be the last time we got to change it if Congress can ever get on top of these things. But lastly, I just want to mention an adult fellowship activity that we'll be having. There's the annoying one. Isn't that terrible? Well, adult fellowship activity we'll be having in March 24th. We're going to go out to the restaurant in Sheboygan Falls, the Rancho Viejo in Sheboygan Falls, of course, a Mexican restaurant. Order off the menu. The menu is back there by the sign up. And just be a great time of fellowship. They've got a nice room that can fit, you know, 20 to 30 people, so we can all be together in a room and enjoy a meal together, play some games, that type of thing. So March 24th is that opportunity. And now we will focus on our prayer request this morning. Our family of the week is the Dravind. Oh boy. Sean and Melanie Dravind. Why can I say that this morning? And their children, Miles, Celine, Hannah, Eli, and Theo. So where's Mom and Dad? Hey, I don't know. But always a blessing to have them with us. And part of our fellowship, their requests are that their family would learn to walk and live by the Spirit, as stated in Galatians 5, 16 and 25. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And verse 25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Great verses for all of us. Also, that they would grow in their walk with God, as it says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. So two verses that they have that they would like to have our prayer support for in their pursuit of walking by the Spirit and growing in grace. And lastly, that any unsaved members of their extended family would come to know Christ as their Savior. Our overseas servants, Isaac and Hannah, just a quick update from our last mission letter that we received in February. Four men had the opportunity to go to the earthquake area to help out and had opportunities to share the gospel. But as you can imagine, seeing and witnessing all that carnage does something to a person. So we'll pray for them as they kind of work through, you know, all the things that they saw. For Isaac and Hannah, they do need to reapply for visas for the kids. They did apply. Isaac and Hannah were given a 2-month extension, but the kids weren't given any extension. You know, there's the government at work, right? So they went through the process of the paperwork in the beginning of February, but the officials decided everybody's got to be processed together, and so they have to wait a little bit longer. We're just praying that they would be able to get a 1-year visa and be done with it for the entire family. A couple of health issues, we'll pray for them. Isaac had a herniated disc, and he can do physical therapy, and that's helping out a little bit, but trying to be cautious with one area of your body, sometimes another one reacts, and so he injured his knee, and he has a tear in the meniscus and a ligament strain. So they're just like wisdom to, you know, what's the best treatment options for this. Our persecuted saint, Pastor Nitin, in the church at Karnataka, India. Pastor Nitin has led a church in Karnataka, India for 15 years. And for years, they've had small attacks like broken windows and official warnings about loud singing or the display of a cross have occurred. However, a local man who lives near Pastor Nitin's house joined the radical Hindu group called Rashtriya Swamsevak Song, or we'll just call them RSS, and began to create problems for the church. During a Hindu festival in September, Pastor Nitin was arrested for forced conversion and jailed for 2 days. His wife, Sathya, and their son were also charged but not jailed. The church has been barred from meeting, and Pastor Nitin can visit only a few members of the church due to ongoing threats against him. Members are working on obtaining documents that will allow them to reopen the church. Since the closure, no church members have denied their faith, despite intense pressure to do so. So we're thankful for that. We'll ask the Lord to provide the documents to allow them to reopen, and pray for Pastor Nathan's neighbor, that the Lord would save him. I think that's the end of our prayer request this morning, so let's begin our service with a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful to be in your house this morning to worship you. Lord, we thank you that we have you as our refuge and strength. And Lord, we thank you for loving us so very much, for the great love that you show us every day, for the many provisions that you give us. Father, we are blessed, and we thank you. And yes, Lord, there are those in our midst, Father, that are hurting, and we do pray for them. But Lord, we know that deep down in our hearts, we have the joy of salvation and to be able to walk with you. Father, we just pray this morning for Pastor Kurt and Maria as they attend a family in Iowa. I pray for Tammy and Al, Lord, especially Al, Father, as he is suffering and in intensive care. Father, you know both of these individuals' hearts. And Father, we pray that if they do not truly know you, that this will be the moment that you open their spiritual eyes and that they will understand the full depth of the gospel message, Lord, and that they will be wondrously saved. So, Father, we just pray that you would just superintend over all the family issues, Lord, and the logistics, and just pray that you would encourage Kurt and Maria's heart and to help them to be an encouragement to the family there in Iowa. Father, we want to pray for our family of the week, for the Dravin family, for Sean and Melanie and Miles, Celine, Hannah, Eli, and Theo. Father, thank you for this godly family that desires to walk after you and according to your word. We do pray, Father, that you would help them to walk in the Spirit, Lord, and Father, that they would also grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that for the entire congregation as well, that we would be individuals fully surrendered to you, continually learning about you, and staying in step with the Spirit. Father, we pray for their unsaved family members, Lord. Pray that you would open their spiritual eyes, draw them to yourself, Lord, as only you can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for our overseas servants, Lord, for Isaac and Hannah. Father, we thank you for their willingness to be in the mission field that you've placed them in. Lord, we are so grateful for their willingness to serve you. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would intervene in the visa situation, that you would grant them a one-year visa for themselves and their family. Lord, that they would be able to stay where they're at, Father, and continue to minister to you and bring many souls into saving knowledge of you. Father, we pray for these men that had gone to the earthquake area and had opportunity to share the gospel. Pray for those seeds that were planted, Lord, that they would get watered and nourished. And Father, that there would be those that would come to saving faith in you as a result of their sharing of the gospel, Lord. Father, we pray too for their hearts that are burdened from all of the carnage that they saw over there and the death and suffering, Lord. And Father, we do pray for those people and pray that you would be their portion, Father. We pray for the health issues that they're experiencing as well, for Isaac, Lord, and for the back pain, and anyone that has suffered with any degree of back pain, know that can be very disabling at times. And now, Lord, for the knee that has been torn, pray, Father, for your healing and for your wisdom, Lord, as they seek to know what your will would be to pursue treatment methods, Father, for this. Pray for the rest of the family that I know they had some earlier flu sicknesses, some of the kids did, and pray that that is all past now and that they are all strong and healthy, Father. We thank you again for Isaac and Hannah and their willingness to serve you in this land. And Father, for the persecuted saint, Lord, we do pray for Pastor Nathan, Lord, and our heart goes out to that church that is barred from assembling now, Lord. They cannot come and be with one another like we are here today. But Father, there is this man who is a close neighbor that has sort of become a thorn in the side. And Lord, we pray for this man's heart, pray for this neighbor, that you would indeed open his eyes, Father, and help him to realize that he is a sinner in need of salvation, Lord, in need of a personal relationship with you. So, Father, we pray for Pastor Nathan and his wife and family, Lord. Encourage their hearts. Pray that the government would allow the church to reopen, that they would get the documentation that they need, Lord. And thank you, Father, for those members there that have not renounced their faith, Lord, but are standing firm and waiting upon you for the situation to be resolved. Lord, we thank you this morning again that we can be in your house and to worship you. We so look forward to seeing one another, Lord, and enjoying singing praises to your name. Father, just thank you so much for Brother Milo as he will bring to us the word that you have laid upon his heart. Father, sort of a short notice to put something together, Lord, but I know that Milo has diligently worked on this, and Father, you have put the burden upon his heart this morning, and we just pray, Father, that as he delivers the message, the Holy Spirit would just have total control this morning, Father, that we would be attentive to the words that you've laid upon his heart, and we thank you for his willingness. Father, thank you for this morning, and may everything that we do bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen.
Amen. Well, we're doing something. I'm sitting here, and I'm going to lead singing. This is a first, but there's always time for firsts, and this is one of them. But I want to thank each and every one of you who prayed for me since my surgery. Cards of encouragement. They are always needed, and I want to thank each and every one of you. Well, we're going to sing. We have come to join in worship and adore the Lord our God. Let's stand and sing together. We have come to join in worship. Join in worship and adore the Lord our God. Let us come in prayer expecting God to speak his mighty word. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Christians pray and holy manna shower all around. See them gather all around you, though he bought at such a cost. See the weary, see the hurting, see the lonely, see the lost. Be his hand and touch the needy, be his gospel, let it sound. Be his body and sweet manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us care for all his people till our God makes all things new. Christ will call us home to heaven. At his banquet we'll sit down. Christ himself will rise and serve us, living manna all around. Behold our God.
oceans in his hands, who has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has felt the nails upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man? God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Let's sing together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you and love you and adore you. because you are God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you, Father, that you showered your grace upon us, and for by grace we've been saved through faith, that not of ourselves, but the gift of God. Father, we thank you for this day, this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for each person who's here this morning, and we pray, Lord, that we might be ministered unto, receiving from your word as your speaker comes to share. And now, Lord, take these gifts, bless them, and use them to glorify yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning to everyone. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the Word of God. Our scripture reading this Lord's Day is Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy exult over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me.
Mama. My hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me.
Good morning. When I grew up, I was around a lot of elderly people. As you know, we had 40 dogs at home. My dad was a dog trainer, and we had all these elderly people coming out and wanted their dogs trained by my dad. So I was around them all the time listening to what I thought was wisdom. But everybody had a little bit of information that you could pull from. And I remember I really didn't remember my grandfather, but my grandmother would so many times tell me, Milo, and then she'd give you little bits of wisdom. And I'm sure that you probably experienced that yourself. Here's just a couple that I heard already and very interesting. This too shall pass. It might be like a kidney stone, but it will pass. If plan A doesn't work, the alphabet has 25 more letters. Stay cool. Life always offers you a second chance. It's called tomorrow. When your children are teenagers, it's important to have a dog so that someone in the house is happy to see you when you get home. Wow. Patty said her grandmother had a very interesting one. She said, whatever you do, give it 100%, except when you're giving blood. Interesting. Interesting comments. When I was growing up, I had to walk about a quarter of a mile to get to the school bus. And it was an old gravel road, and About three quarters of the way to Eisner Avenue, there was a swamp that they somehow cut the road through this swamp. And when I was just a little guy, I was convinced that monsters lived in those willows. And I hated walking through those willows. It cut right through. There was willows on both sides. And you know me having polio, when I would go through those willows, I should have been in the Olympics because I got through them really, really fast. Well, my dad knew that. And every time I would leave for school, my dad would say, Milo, whatever you do, keep your thinking and your attitude calm and cheerful. And do it right now. And so I memorized that, okay? Keep your thinking and attitude calm and cheerful. When you walk through those willows, keep your thinking and attitude calm and cheerful. So I take off for the school bus. It's not there yet, but I see the willows coming up. And I'm continually saying this in my head. I did that most of my life until I got out of grade school. Well, it didn't work because I still got to the willows and I took off like crazy because I was convinced I was going to die. We all have little tidbits of things that we can learn. And we're going to learn today that Paul gave the Corinthian church a few little nuggets himself. Pastor Kurt is starting a new series. It's in 2 Corinthians. I think we've gone through two different sermons so far. But I want to back up a little bit in 1 Corinthians because we see a church that's struggling in Christian maturity. Because remember, Paul started the church on his second missionary trip, and it took a long time to get established. And the church was in the culture of corruption, kind of what we have today. The church had serious issues. Sometimes we have that today. Spiritual pride issues, misinterpreting spiritual gifts, sin in the congregation, marriage problems, idolatry, the Lord's Supper was being misused. And most important issue was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul had to address that. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I got it right here. Let me read it for you. For if the dead were not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have only hoped in Christ in this life, we are of all most to be pitied. But now, Christ has been raised from the dead. So Paul tackles the issue of the resurrection, and then he goes and talks about the resurrection of our body someday. And then we get to chapter 16. Chapter 16 seems to be so many times kind of glossed over a little bit because, there's a few things. They take a benevolent for the church in Jerusalem. There were some financial problems there. Rome had its fingers in the church and things were going on. And Paul wanted to make sure that their needs were being met. And then he gets to two different verses, 13 and 14. Look at that. Here's a couple little nuggets from Paul that we get. Two very simple verses. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your inerrant word. And Lord, this written so long ago in another land, in another culture, Father, we know it's your words because it still speaks to us today. And we are ever so grateful, Father, for your word. Lord, I would just ask that as we go through these five imperatives from Paul, Lord, would you, I ask you humbly that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, and that your Holy Spirit would truly be the teacher and the preacher here this morning. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would illumine your word to our hearts and to our minds. Help us leave here changed a little bit more to the image of Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't gotten an outline, I labeled this Living a Life of Victory. The theme is Five Imperatives for Godly Living. Here's a question for you. Are you a victor or a casualty in your Christian walk? The answer in the bottom is, it's your choice. It's our choice. Whatever you decide. Because we're going to go through five imperatives that Paul gives to us. The first one is be on the alert. The second one is stand firm in the faith. The third one is be courageous. The fourth is be strong. And the fifth one, let all you do be done in love. The first one is be on the alert. We're talking about alertness. And what does Paul mean when he says be on the alert? Well, we know that we need to be on the alert for temptation. If you go over in Mark chapter 14, Mark 14, verse 38, we have the Lord Jesus telling us, keep watching or keep alert and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm sure that we all experience that in our lives. When temptations come so many times, we may fall or we need to call on the Lord immediately, but the flesh is weak. Jesus said in John 15 that he is the vine and we are the branches, and that we need to stay attached to the vine. We need to stay attached. How many times even, and it happens to me so often, sometimes I go to bed a little bit later than what I normally do, but I always go in my rocker and I pray for 15, 20 minutes before I go to bed. But so many times before I even get done, I'm snoring in my rocker. And I feel awful about it. And then I'm asking the Lord to forgive me for that. And I think, well, I need to get in my rocker a little bit earlier. But so often we just get tired, and the apostles were experienced that in the Garden of Gethsemane. So we need to be alert in temptation. We need to be alert in the spiritual battle around us. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. It's an amazing thing with a lion or a tiger that they attack by stealth. They don't just come rushing in. They move real slowly. And you know, you can see that even in a house cat. How often that a cat, when they see something, it's just ever so slowly that they move. That's exactly what Satan does. But then comes the pounce. Then comes the pounce, and whatever the animal is after, normally they get. We live out in the country, and so often we see a cat jump 2 feet in the air and come down. We know what's going on. He's after a mouse. And a lot of times he comes up with the mouse. Satan knows what he's doing. We got to be careful. We have to be on the alert. We can't take that lightly. And then we need to be alert in our walk with the Lord. Quickly turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. the church of Sardis, he who has seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive and you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain. Be alert, wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. If therefore you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. Jesus said, we need to walk with him daily. We have to be alert continually. We cannot relax in our Christian walk, especially in a culture that we have today. And then lastly, we need to be alert for the return of Jesus Christ. Matthew 24. Verses 42 through 44. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you be ready too, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Jesus Christ tells us to be on the alert. How do we stay on the alert? We need to have a future focus. A future focus helps us to stay on the alert. I looked up Colossians chapter 3, and listen to what it says. For if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is our life is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. What does it mean to have a future focus? Watch this for a second.
Imagine this rope. Okay, pretend this rope just goes on forever. Okay? Just imagination. Pretend it goes around the world a few times. It doesn't. It ends at the rock. But let's just imagine this thing goes on forever. Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on earth. You've got a few short years here on earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. This is your existence. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save, so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that. And you're thinking, oh man, am I going to get to travel? Am I going to eat well? Am I going to do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about this? What about this? What about all this stuff? It's crazy me because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all this stuff I could enjoy, and I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner just looking at that moment when I face God, because when I face him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth, and it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to spend my life down here. See, people look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this. I go, no, you're stupid because that's going to affect all of this. Man, I'm serious.
Good illustration. You know, God must know that we can easily be self-absorbed in this life because, you know, he even gives a crown for those who look for Christ appearing. Did you know that? 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Future focus. Put your focus. Be alert. Know that Christ is right at the door, and we know that. We have to be alert, folks. A college professor had a mysterious habit of removing a tennis ball from his jacket pocket when he walked into the lecture hall each morning. He would set it on the corner of the podium. After giving a lecture for a day, he would once again pick up the tennis ball, place it in his jacket pocket, and leave the room. No one ever understood why he did this until one day a student fell asleep during the lecture. The professor didn't miss a word of his lecture while he walked over to the podium, picked up the tennis ball, and threw it, hitting the sleeping student squarely on the top of the head. The next day, the professor walked into the room, reached into his jacket pocket, and removed the baseball. No one ever slept the rest of that semester. Beyond the alert, beyond the alert, our Lord tells us. Let's look at the next one. Stand firm in the faith. Paul tells the Corinthian church, you need to stand firm in the faith. Don't compromise your integrity. That's what that means. You know, when you come to our house, and some of you have been there, we had a 12-foot table built because we got so many people at our house. It's crazy, but it's wonderful. But when you sit down at the table, they see a big sign this big. And it's on the wall. And it's Joshua 24:15. Anybody know what that verse is? Yep. Choose this day whom you will serve. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Everyone who comes into our house understands what kind of family we are. They understand it. And what we need to do is to stand firm in the faith so we can live it out in front of them. That's what it's all about. Look quickly at Psalm 86. Psalm 86 is really interesting. Psalm 86, verses 4 and 5. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will, underline that, walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will, underline that, give thanks to thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify thy name forever. I will walk in the truth. We need to stand firm in the faith, and we need to show the world what real Christians look like. Very, very important. Psalm 25, 4 and 5. Make me know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all day long. Do you hear the hunger? Do you hear the thirst in that individual writing these words? No wonder they called David a man after God's own heart. Stand firm in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58 should have it memorized. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not or never in vain. Not with God. Never in vain. Be steadfast. See, when problems come our way, I wrote this in my Bible. On Psalm 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I asked myself six different questions, and I got them written right here. When problems come our way and your faith starts to get shaken, ask yourself, who's in control? God's in control. Who supplies all my needs? God does. Have I been obedient? Then I look at myself to make sure that there's no sin that I'm committing or holding a grudge against anyone else. I ask myself, where is Jesus right now? He's walking with me. He's always with me. How will I face this? The answer to that is expect a victory. When tough times come, expect a victory, because that's what's going to happen. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a struggle. But when we stand firm in our faith, when the trials come, guess what? We don't blame God. We know that he's with us. We know that he meets our needs. We know that he is the one who has overcome the world. John 16:33. That's my favorite verse. I love it. My last question is, what's my future? Well, when you know that God is walking in you, you know what your future is. Your future is a living hope, knowing that God is with you. Stand firm in the faith. God sometimes allows us to enter into discouraging situations for the primary purpose of testing our faith. At such times, we must refuse to give up in despair. Like Jonah in the belly of the great fish, we must turn to the Lord when our soul is fainting within us, trusting him completely. James H. McConkie wrote, "What can you do when you are about to faint physically? You can't do anything. In your weakness, you just fall upon the shoulders of some strong loved one, lean hard, and rest until your strength returns. The same is true when you are tempted to faint under adversity in your life." Listen to this. The Lord's message to us is Psalm 46:10. "Be still and know that I am God. If you come to my house, you'll go by Patty's desk where her computer is, and above the desk is a sign that she had the boys make for her, and it says, 'Be still and know that I am God.'" And she said, "I don't know how many times I had to rely on that verse to get through a day, especially with the job that she had." Hudson Taylor was so feeble in closing months of his life that he said to a dear friend, "I'm so weak that I can't work or read my Bible. I can hardly even pray. I can only lie still in God's arms like a little child in trust. And that is all the Heavenly Father asks of you when you grow weary in the fierce fires of affliction." Are you going through that right now today? What God is asking you to do, if he's silent right now, even in your prayers, just rest in him. Let go. I don't really like the term "let go" and "let God," but we need to just rest in the loving arms of our Savior, because he is God. That's why he says, be still and know that I am God. The third one, we're moving along pretty good. Last time I went a little bit too long. The third one is be courageous. Be courageous. Take a stand for the truth. Take a stand for the truth. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. If at any time, folks, we need to stand for truth, it's today. Because truth is being trampled on. It's being trampled on. And we need to be strong enough and courageous enough to take a stand for our Lord and for his word. Listen to Ephesians 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ loved you and gave himself for us in offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Verse 3. But do not let immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. That takes guts. That takes guts to stand up and say, hey, this is just wrong. This is just wrong, and I'll show you from the Word of God. I think today in our church, we've just been too silent when it comes to being out around people. We're very strong in church, preaching the Word of God, but many times we get out there in the community and we become little lambs. And sometimes we even let the name of Jesus be trampled, and we don't even say anything. God is telling, Paul is telling the Corinth church that had all these troubles, you guys need to be courageous. You need to take a stand. You need to take a stand. In fact, in my Bible where it says be of courage, it says in my Bible, be a man. Be a man about it. Take a stand. It's what it's all about. And when God's word says be a man, naturally, we're talking about in the body of Christ, it's man and woman. We're all equal. We know that. But Paul says, be courageous. Let me finish verse 11. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. We need to be courageous. I read this the other day. Lifestyles wanting to be lived today were condemned back when people had high morals. Did you know that? Let me read that again. Lifestyles wanting to be lived today were condemned back when people had high morals. So the things, the kind of lives that people want to live today, back when I was a child, that was condemned because we had, the morality was much higher than what it is today. It's time, folks, that we take a biblical stand, a stand against biblical sin. It really is. I think we need to start calling sin, sin, and not to be ashamed of what Christ has done for us. Be courageous, Paul says. Look at number four. Be strong. Be strong. And when Paul talks about to be strong, he's not talking about pumping iron. He's talking about an inner strength. An inner strength. Remember your position in Christ and rejoice in it. Remember was it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, we had that singing group come? And they, I mean, just wonderful people. Brad and I, we got a chance to take them to Pizza Ranch, and boy, we had a lot of laughs. It was great. But do you remember what they preached up here? Does anybody remember? Uh-huh. What he preached on was Romans chapter 5. Turn there once. I want to show you what God has taught me about inner strength. Turn to Romans chapter 5. This is really cool. And I don't even know how I missed it. Verses 1 through 5 is what he preached on. When I got home, I went over Romans 1 through 5. And listen what it says. Therefore, this is what Paul says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what Paul's saying in that verse is, he says, our peace, the source of our peace is by faith. The means of our faith is through Jesus Christ. And the direction of our faith is with God. That's what he's basically saying. Look at verse 2. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of God. He's talking about being justified in Christ. When you understand that you stand before God in Christ's righteousness, we need to think about those things and meditate on those things. That's what I'm learning in my own life after, I don't know how many years I've walked with the Lord. It's been quite a while. But still learning, still growing. But the key to all this is, look at verse 3. For not only this, but we also exult. That's the word. We exult in our tribulations. Verse 2, through whom we also obtain introduction by the faith in this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. Two times Paul says exult. In your Bibles, I think it says rejoice, doesn't it? You rejoice. You want to get inner strength. You rejoice in what God has given to you. Rejoice in where you stand in Christ. Rejoice. Give him thanks for it, knowing that God has imputed on you the very righteousness of Jesus Christ if you know him as your Lord and Savior. And when you know that, it gives you, I don't know if you want to say self-esteem. I don't think I want to use that word. But you know who you belong to. You know that Christ is your Savior. You know that down deep inside. And when you do know that, it it gives you an inner strength to be able to speak forth the truth about Christ and what he has done. And it's all about understanding who you are in Christ. You know, when I was going through that section last night, I was up till midnight going through this lesson because Pastor Kurt called me and I didn't get home until around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I thought, I was going to do a lesson that I've done a couple times and I just didn't feel right doing that. So I sat down and there I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me with this because I'm not a smart guy. And how many times he comes through. I don't know if you can see it, but I can see it in my own life. But I had a slip of paper that I was going to use for notes. And it had writing on one side, so I flipped it over. And on that piece of paper, it says, who you are in Christ. And it's got probably 50 verses talking about I'm accepted, I'm a child of God, I'm Christ's friend, I've been justified, I'm united with the Lord, I have bought with a price, I've been adopted. I can go on and on and on. You could look at one of these, look up the verses, and exalt in one of these every day. Take one a day and exalt on who you are in Christ. We are special people, folks. And when we know that, we want that for others. We want that for others. They can be where we are right now. But that inner strength comes by the truth of God's word. And then the Holy Spirit, it comes funneling into us in order to help us to understand where we stand with the Lord. Let's look up a couple other verses. Look up Titus. Titus 2, 11 through 15. Titus 2, 11 through 15. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, not just Jews, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope in the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. Remember when you got saved and you got so excited and you got involved in so many things that maybe your wife or the husband said, hey, I think we got to back up a little bit. We don't even have time for our kids. We're so busy at church. But the excitement of who we were in Christ, we wanted to get involved in everything. Where's that excitement? Now, this church does a lot in church, and without a doubt, many people are involved, and I think it's absolutely wonderful. Verse 15 says, these things speak and exhort and improve with all authority. Let no one disregard you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. You know it well. But you, Emmanuel Bible Church, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We've been called out of darkness into light. You want inner strength? Focus on the truth. Focus on the truth about yourself. The more you do, the more God, the Holy Spirit, takes that truth and makes it, puts it into your heart that you are, you have the surety of knowing of your relationship with the Lord. And none of this naturally is in our own doing. It's all through the Holy Spirit. You don't have to turn there, but let me just quickly grab Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. That's where it is. That's that inner strength. And it comes by rejoicing who you are in Christ and thanking God. That's his will. Paul says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is God's will for your life. Sometimes I don't think in my own life, I don't rejoice enough. And we have to. Strength comes by remembering your position in Christ. Romans chapter 5 is all about justification. And a pastor that I know became a pastor and he was still unsure of his walk with the Lord, even as a pastor. He was ready to give up. And he got home and he went to prayer and the Bible fell open to Romans chapter 5. He said, I read Romans chapter 5 and all of a sudden a light went on. He says, I exult. I rejoice in who I am. It's something you don't have to work for. It's something that's been given to us. That's why we rejoice. And you can't fall out of it. How great is that? You don't need a seatbelt. Wouldn't it be cool to get in a car? You don't have to. Anyway, let's not go there. Last one. Last one, number 5. Paul says, let all that you do be done in love. Let all that you do be done in love. I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. You know it well. I'm going to start in verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffering. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices with the truth. Now look at verse 7. Love bears all things. You know what that means, bears all things? It means that it doesn't remember faults. It doesn't remember faults. Do you ever have an argument with your spouse and you want to get back and you go to the file cabinet with all the things that your spouse has done against you and you bring up the files and says, what about this? And what about this? You don't keep a record of faults. When you forgive somebody, how do you know that you forgive somebody? You never bring it up again. Oh, you may remember it, but you chose not to bring it up anymore. That's what it means. It bears all things. Because it's hard for us to forget, but we can choose not to allow our mouth to bring it up again. Love believes all things. It gives people the benefit of the doubt. Sometime you have to do that, even with believers. They'll tell you something, you're not sure, you know. They said they were going to be someplace, or I don't know. We could go over all kinds of scenarios, but it gives the benefit of the doubt. Okay, I'm just gonna trust him that he really did get a flat tire or whatever the case may be. But it gives the benefit of the doubt. Love hopes all things. It sees potential in people. It sees potential in people. And we need to do that, especially when we're out in the culture. We have people that are so mixed up, And we have to realize that at one time, I was there where they are. Maybe not in their situation, whatever it was, but at one time before Christ, you were there. And I was too. And it helps us to remember. It helps us to remember that we need to see potential in people. We need to have compassion. And love endures all things. It's willing to remain in difficult situations for the sake of another. If you lead somebody to Jesus and you disciple them, some things a lot of times gets pretty frustrated. And you just think, you know what? I don't need this. There's other things that I can do. But a person who loves from their heart when it comes to difficult situations, they'll remain steadfast for the individual in order to see them grow. That's what love does. That's what it's all about. Verse 8, love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. Let all you do, do it in love. That's what Paul says to the Corinthians, and that's what Paul's and God says for us today. You know, there's a, I'm going to close here now. You remember the woman cried and washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her hair? And then he turned to Simon, and he goes, Simon, you know, he says, and then Simon says, Lord, you don't know who's touching you, this woman, where she's been. And he says, Simon, you know what? He goes, I came into your house. You didn't give me any, you didn't anoint my head with oil. You didn't wash my, you didn't even give me a greeting. And this woman has not stopped showing love to me. And then he basically says, those who have been forgiven much will love much. Those who have been forgiven little, many times love little. How much have you been forgiven by the Lord? How much have I been forgiven? I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to tell you the things that were in my life. Those who have been forgiven much, love much. And this woman was showing that to Jesus. No one had to tell her that she was a sinner. I close with this. With this illustration. This is a true story. His name is Old Jim. Old Jim was from a rescue mission down in Chicago. Jim came into the rescue mission and he was in bad shape. He was in, literally, he was in bad shape. He was a drunk. He was an addict. He stunk. He had bad breath. He hadn't taken a shower in who knows how long. And the rescue mission gave him a change of clothes, fed him, but they also fed him spiritually. And Big Jim grabbed on to Jesus with all his might. For 20 years, Big Jim stayed at the mission. Big Jim didn't teach Bible studies. He didn't do anything like that. All he did was he did the labors that nobody else wanted to do. Cleaned up vomit off the floor, cleaned the toilets, continually helped others find their way in certain areas. He was a constant helper, made sure things were picked up, picked up those little pieces of paper that most of you and I walk past. But he made it look, this is what God's called me to do. And Finally, Big Jim died. They died. And they said that his funeral was one of the biggest that they've ever seen. And all the people that Jim touched in his life came to the funeral. And while the eulogy was going on, all of a sudden the doors in the back flew open. And here comes a man just like Big Jim. He walked all the way up to the front. And he stunk. He just was not in good shape. But he went up and he laid his hands on the coffin. And he said, "God, Jim told me a lot about you and what Jesus did for me. I don't understand a lot of it. And I just ask you to do one thing for me, God." He says, "Make me like Jim. I want to be like him." Paul wrote these little nuggets to the Corinthian church. He said, "Be on the alert." He said, "Stand firm in the faith." He said, "Be courageous in all your convictions. Be strong with inner strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. And lastly, all you do, be it done in love." Great wisdom and encouragement from a man of God. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit this morning, helping us, Lord, to remember the battle that we are in, but yet the opportunities that we have in order to serve you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be on the alert for temptation. Would you, Father, help us to stand firm in our faith when those times come when we know we're supposed to stand? Lord, would you help us to be courageous in our convictions and to stand firm in it, knowing that people are watching us? Lord, would you help us to stand firm with an inner strength that only comes from your Holy Spirit? Father, we don't want to do it in our own strength. We know that's wrong. But Lord, help us to depend on the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, would you place in us a heart of love, a heart of compassion for the lost, a heart that will just go another mile in order to help an individual. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, "When We All Get to Heaven, What a Day of Rejoicing That Will Be." Let's stand and sing together, "When We All Get to Heaven."
The mansions bright and blessed, you prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow nor a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting servant every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toll of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all shout the victory. Thank you. You are dismissed.